just remain standing, if you will. Turn in your Bible to 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. Appreciate that song. I love it. Amen. And I'm glad we have a promise from God. As it said, little is much when God is in it. Amen. And we have a job to do. If we'll be faithful, He'll be faithful. Isn't that right? Amen. He'll be faithful, and He will supply our needs, and He will reward us for our labors. Amen. John chapter number, 1 John chapter number 3, and preaching a topical message this morning. I don't do that a whole lot, but last Sunday I preached a topical message. I got another thought carried over from that I'm going to pick up on today. Not sure if I'll carry it on in the days to come. I don't necessarily intend to do that. Didn't intend on being here with this thought, but that's where I feel like I should be. Thank you, brother. And that's where I feel like I should be this morning. All right. 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 1. The Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That's talking about me and you now. That we, that's me and you, should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Houston, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes. Help us, Lord, please. Yes, help us, Lord. Yes. Help, Lord, yes. Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I do appreciate that prayer. Amen, amen. Well, as I said, last week I preached a message. I entitled that message, Are You In? And Brother Steve was so excited that I've shortened my titles that, amen, he could actually get it written down there. Amen. And today I've got another short title. But I'm thinking about that, about Are You In? I dealt with being in Christ, being in the faith. Amen. And I had three text verses that we initially took as our text, and then, of course, other verses that we looked at. We start off with Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I made this statement there that he says there is therefore now no condemnation. Not that there'll be none when we get to judgment. There's none now. Amen. Now, the fact that there's none now does not mean there never has been any, because at one time we were under the condemnation of God. But thank God now we're not. Hallelujah. Amen. And in that day we won't be as well. Here, this verse that we looked at starts off with the word now again in verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. We're not waiting till we die to get salvation. I have heard, I remember as a boy, I remember a lady made the statement when somebody died, she said they have now began their eternal life. No! Eternal life does not begin the day you die. Eternal life begins the day you got born again. Amen. Amen. And in one sense, it always has been. Eternal means on both ends, it's been forever. But by the way, that's because it's the life of God, amen, that's been imputed unto us. But we don't wait till we get to death to get salvation. Now there's no condemnation, and now are we the sons of God. By the way, if we are, we ought to act like it. Amen. We ought to serve like it. Just be. I say act. Some people say, you ought to act like a Christian. There's too many people acting. Amen. We don't just need to act, we need to be. Amen. We need to be what we really are. Amen. So, and we need to show that forth. But we talked about Romans 8:1, and then we went on to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, I use that for in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. Right now, he's a new creature. The moment he gets saved, he's a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Old things are passed away. I said that's some things that you can't see. Next it says, behold. That means there's some things you can see. All things are become new. There's some things in your heart that you can't see faith. You can't see repentance. You can see the outworking of it. Amen. Things take place in your heart that you cannot see. But if that takes place where you cannot see it, there will some things take place that we can see. Amen. By the good grace of God. And so we talked about that being in Christ. Again, it said that. And then we went to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5 where he said, examine yourselves. Whether or not you be in the faith. That's in the faith, the same thing as in Christ. Amen. Or whether or not you be in the faith. And so he's saying this, and that's what I wanted to focus on last week in particular. We need to check and make sure that we're in. Amen. Make sure that we're in, and I'm glad that we can. Now today I want to preach about the fact of being in the family. Amen. What are we in? We're in the family. He says here in our text, behold, verse number 1, what manner of love? The Father. You see that? Father. Verse number 1. That's talking about a family figure, right? The Father is the one that makes the family. Amen. Children don't make the family. Listen, our society has almost got things flipped upside down. Amen. In one sense, they don't have any concern about children. It seems like people don't want children. Amen. People look at children as baggage, but then some of them that have children, it's like they're gods all of a sudden. They get to run the home. They get to be the one that says what kind of cereal you buy. Amen. Where you go, what you do. And matter of fact, people say, when they talk about going to a church, well, do you have anything for the kids? Sure we do. Amen. We got King James Bible preaching. Amen. We got good conservative gospel singing. Amen. We got Holy Ghost praying, praising, and serving God. Amen. Amen. We do have a playground. That's not in here. That's out there. And it's not during church time. Amen. Amen. But the idea, do you have anything for the children? He starts off the Father. That's in verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Amen. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. They're not in, amen, they're not in Christ. They're not in the faith. They're not in the family. Therefore, they don't understand being in Christ, being in the faith, and being in the family. Amen. But we're in the family. That's what he's talking about. We're the sons of God. He says that in verse number 1 and again in verse number 2 as well. And so what got us, you think about this just by way of introduction, what got us into the family? This is an esteemed family. This is an esteemed position to be part of the family. Amen. Now they've made big news recently about Prince, is it Harry and Meghan, the Markle family, and about how that they are no longer part of the royal family. They're not doing royal service. Listen, I'm glad I'm in a family that's better than the royal family. Amen. I'm in a family that's more esteemed than the royal family. Amen. How did I get there? He said it's because of the love of the Father. Amen. What manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? 1 John 3 talks about the love of God. Reminds me of John chapter 3 talking about the love of God. For God so loved, amen, the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So what got us in the family? It was the love of the Father. Amen. There was a time when we were not the sons of God. Something happened. What was it that happened? God, by his grace, offered his only begotten son. Amen. He offered the only begotten son that he might bring many sons to glory. Amen. One fellow said it this way. I think it's good. He said, the Son of God became the son of men that the sons of men might become the sons of God. Amen. Christ came and died on Calvary in our stead. Amen. He bought us by his grace and brought us into the family of God. He sought me and he brought me. Amen. Bought me and brought me into the family of God. Made us sons of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, verse number 2 says we are now. I say that again. That now means there was a time we were not. But God brought us in. He has placed us into the family. I want to think about, I've got 5 things I want to think about this morning. Probably not be long. I say probably. Perhaps. Won't be long. Thinking about being in the family. Number 1, I want to talk about the family circle. In the family circle. When you think of a family, immediately you think of something close-knit. Right? Yeah. Amen. You think of something close-knit. And again, that's getting strange to our society today. Used to be, Brother Steve's talking about there this morning, Sunday school, that in the Old Testament, particularly in the land of Israel, when God gave them the land, they were to pass that down through their lineage, and they weren't to be moving around. They wasn't to be selling and buying land and moving all over the place. God put them in a place, that's where they're supposed to stay. Amen. But we're in a whole different day, and I realize we're not under that restriction. Amen. But there was a time when people had a family. And I was talking to a man there in Mississippi this week. He asked me where our family lived. And I told him they're all scattered around. The closest one's 9 hours away. Amen. And talking about our children anyway. And I told him that we had Joshua and Katie was here. Little Samuel was born. He's the only grandchild that got born in the state of Kentucky. Got to stay here 2 months before they uprooted him and sent him to Oklahoma. And he said, you know, his family's the same way. He said, I always imagined... He said, I wanted my children to grow up and move out. But he said, I didn't expect them to move off. He said, I thought they'd live right around me. But he said, it hasn't worked that way. They've got one in Utah. They got one in, I think, North Carolina. And they've got one there in Mississippi about 3 hours away. And so he's talking about how things are. But when we think of a family, we think of something that's close-knit. We're in the family of God. One of the close-knit relationships in the family is the relationship of the father and his son. Amen. The father-son relationship is a special relationship. That's not denigrating the mother-daughter relationship. Amen. Or the father-daughter or the mother-son. Amen. Not denigrating, but there's something special about a father and his son relationship. Can I tell you, thank God God treats us like his own special son. Amen. Like his own special child. We sing that song or have heard that song. He treats me like I was his only child. Amen. My father has a great big family. And there are many others besides me. But it said, I can't help but feeling that he treats me like I'm his only child. Amen. Amen. Well, he tells us that we're sons of God. Now, how did we get that distinction? We got that from the Son of God. Amen. There is a difference between the only begotten Son of God and the sons of God. Jesus is unique. Amen. He's unique in the fact that there never was a time he wasn't the Son. Amen. There was a time we weren't. There never was a time he was not the Son. All the way back in eternity past. Before the beginning of time. Before the beginning. Amen. In the beginning, God was there. And in the beginning, the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Amen. Christ being that Word. Amen. But you remember, Jesus made a marked difference in talking about the Father. In John chapter 20, you don't have to turn there, but I'll just read it to you. Jesus has just gotten up out of the grave. Mary has come to the sepulcher. She sees our Lord there. Jesus says this in John 20, verse 17. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Amen. Jesus said, he's my Father, you're my brethren. He said, he's my Father, he's your Father. He didn't say our Father, because he's not on the same level. He's on a higher plane. He's the only begotten Son of God. Amen. Now, you might argue, say, well, there is a place where he did say, Our Father. That's in the model prayer. He did say that. In Mark chapter, Matthew chapter number 6 and in Luke chapter number 11, he tells us when we pray, say, Our Father. But he wasn't, that wasn't our Lord praying. That was our Lord showing us how we ought to pray. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, first of all, because when you go on down there a little ways, he said, forgive us our sins. Jesus never had to ask for forgiveness of sins. He never had any sins. Amen. So he's not, it's not him praying, it's him telling us how we ought to pray. Amen. But we can pray to the same Father that Jesus has. Amen. But we're not on the same level as Jesus is. God does not hear me because of me. He hears me because of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I come under, if I can say it, I'm under the umbrella of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask it in His name. That has almost just become just routine, just a tag that you put on the end of prayer. And by the way, I don't particularly like prayers that say in your name or in His name. I like to say in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not ashamed to say the name Jesus. Amen. Amen. So He said, Your Father, my Father, there is a definite distinction. Amen. Jesus is the eternal Son. Amen. He's one with the Father since the beginning of time. Amen. He's the one that adopted us into the family. That's how we got in, by the way. We got adopted in. Amen. If you want to turn, look in Galatians chapter number 4. We'll look at some different verses. Galatians chapter number 4, very familiar. And I won't preach anything you don't already know, I'm sure. But it'll be, hopefully be helpful. Galatians chapter 4. And verse number 4 and 5. We read verse 4 particularly around Christmas time. Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Look at this. That we might receive the adoption of sons. Amen. That we might be grafted in, if you want to say it that way. That's how adoption works. You go find a child that was not your child. And you procure it. You bring that child into your family. Amen. Amen. You go to you do the legwork, the paperwork, pay the price, whatever the situation is, and get everything done. The legal work, you take care of all those things to bring that child into your family. Listen, I'm glad Jesus Christ did all the legwork. Jesus Christ took care of all the legal work. Jesus Christ did all the financial work. Amen. To bring us into the family. Amen. Look in Ephesians chapter number 1. He uses that phrase adoption again as well. Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 5. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Amen. God had a plan, a foreordained, if you want to use the word they use there, predestined plan that God had, that how can children come, how can sons of men become sons of God? There's only one way, that is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. That is the method of redemption, amen. The method of being adopted into the family of God. But can I say this? That adoption also entails a birth. Not just a first birth, but a second birth. Amen. A new birth. You must be born again. That's what Jesus said, isn't it? Amen. In Matthew chapter number 18, you don't have to turn verses 2 and 3. There had been some arguing over who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It seemed like they continually had that argument. The Bible said, and Jesus called a little child unto Him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So there's got to be a conversion and you got to be born. That's what He's talking about, right? Into the family of God. John chapter number 3. St. John, if you want to say the Gospel of John chapter number 3. There's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He's a ruler of Jews. He came to Jesus by night. Verses 3 through 5, our Lord said this to him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? All Nicodemus was seeing is the physical. That's all he's seeing. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. He's talking about being born again. The only way we can be accepted into this family circle, it's not by depth of learning. It's not by education. Amen. It's not by some prestige of position. By the way, Nicodemus had the education. More than likely, he'd memorized the first five books of the Bible. If he is on the Sanhedrin, that was one of the requirements. We're doing good if we memorize the first five verses. He'd probably memorize the first five chapters. He had the education, but he didn't understand spiritual things. He had prestige and position. He's a teacher. He's a ruler of the Jews. Amen. It's not by those, it's not by some rite of religion. He had all that religion down pat. Amen. It's not by living a good life. That's not how you get to heaven. Amen. It's not by some accumulation of merit. I say again, Nicodemus had all these things, and yet Jesus said unto him, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Amen. The word ye, there's plural. Nicodemus, you and everybody else out there has to be born again. That's what he's saying. Amen. You're not going to be able to enter into the kingdom of God. That's the only way in. Into the family circle. Amen. I'm glad I'm in the family circle, aren't you? Look at John chapter number 1. We'll go back there. Look there if you will just a moment. John chapter 1, and I like verse number 12. I want to read verse 12 and 13. Could quote it, but I want to read it to you. I want you to see it. John chapter number 1, verses 12 and 13. But as he's talking about, he came to his own received him not. All right, that's already been there. But as many as received him, that's Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. So he said there was a time we were not the sons of God, but he gave us power to become, amen, the sons of God, even to as many as believe on his name. Amen. So, now I ask you a question. Can you recall a time when that took place in your life? You didn't have to mark it on the calendar. You didn't necessarily have to write it in your Bible, flyleaf of your Bible. I didn't do any of that when I got saved. I'm not sure of the date. I know it was the fifth Sunday in June, 1974. I know it's fifth Sunday because I know how the things took place in the church. We had special things that we did on the fifth Sunday. I remember all that. There's fifth Sunday in June, 1974, that I got saved by the grace of God. Was there a time in your life? You don't have to remember the date. You don't have to remember the hour. I like what Brother Ronnie Sutton said. Brother, some people say, well, I know. For example, they say I was over here on the right side of the altar. It'd be your right side. The right side of the altar at 12:15. You know why they know that? Because they know the preacher never quit at 12. I mean, it'd be a sin to quit at 12. Be a liberal, amen. They quit at 12. Amen. By the way, I told my Brother Sutton, he told me the other day, he said, I always listen to the last part of your sermon. He said, I probably get about half of it. He said, because I get out on time. I said, yeah, and I'm just getting started good. Amen. Amen. But Brother Sutton talks about people say, I was on the right side of the altar, and it was at 12:15 or whatever. They can tell you exactly where the second hand was on the watch. Here's what he said. He said, I can't tell you all that because my mind was on eternity. My mind wasn't on time. Amen. Amen. And that's where your mind ought to be, by the way, is on eternity. Amen. Doing business with God. I saw him talk about being born again. Was there a time when you received him as your Lord and Savior? Amen. Amen. In the family, what a wonderful blessing. Amen. What an immeasurable joy it is. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm talking about being the royal family. Listen, being born into the family of God is more prestige than being born into the Biden family or the Trump family or the royal family. Amen. Being born into the family of God is the most prestigious thing there can be. And by the way, whosoever will can come. Amen. Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 26 says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. How do you get to be a child of God? By faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We should never be ashamed to say that we are part of the family of God. Amen. I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God. That's what the song says. We'll never, listen to me now and pay attention. We'll never be ashamed to admit that we are part of the family of God. And at the same time, we ought never make it a shame that we're a part of the family of God. In other words, we ought never do anything that brings shame to the family of God. And so that brings me to my second point. Not only in the family circle, but I want to talk about the family likeness. In the family likeness. He said there in 1 John chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 2 that I read in the initial, he said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we shall be, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him." I underline that phrase. We shall be like him. Amen. "For we shall see him as he is." It looks like that in seeing Christ, we'll be transformed. Amen. Paul talks about in the Corinthians, letter to the Corinthians, he talks about looking into this Bible, looking into the mirror, and being changed into his image as we look into the mirror of the Word of God. Amen. And so there's the idea that we ought to start looking like the family we're a part of. There's family resemblances. Amen. Family resemblances. Some women naturally look like their mother. Amen. I know nobody, you women ain't shouting on that. But it's true. Some men naturally look like their father. Brother Kirkman was there at the meeting there in Mississippi, and he saw Samuel. First time he'd seen Samuel, I think. And this is what he said. He come up to me, he's just laughing from ear to ear. He said, "Brother Shepherd," he said, "I can't help it." He said, "Look at that little boy." He said, "It looks like a little tiny miniature Brother Shepherd in a little jumpsuit." And I told him about what my mother-in-law says about my daughter's youngest daughter, Alora, and our Daniel's second son, Levi. She always said about, she said, "You know, the fatter them kids get, the more they look like their grandpa." Made me feel good. Amen. But they do. They have some resemblance, some family resemblance that's passed down. That's natural, isn't it? It's natural. And so shouldn't we have some family resemblance? Shouldn't there be something, if Christ is in us, the hope of glory, there ought to be something start working its way out. There ought to be some resemblance, amen, of him. Matter of fact, the Bible said that, goes on, 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, "And everyone that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure." That word purifieth means he's doing it now and continue to do it until it's done. Amen. So we ought to be working on ourselves. Amen. The idea here is that every believer that is genuinely saved by the grace of God is looking to purify himself, even as Christ is pure. He said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Amen. "And as I am holy," he said in another place. Amen. So there is a gradual resemblance, a gradual likeness that ought to be taking place until there is the perfected, amen, likeness. One of these days we'll be like him. Amen. I want to be more and more like him. There's not only the family circle, the family likeness, but number two, or number three, there's the family business. Amen. The family business. You remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 2, verse number 49? He said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" There's a family business. Amen. I like that, matter of fact, in the real world. Amen. It's good when families can work together, can have their own family business. Amen. Joseph was a carpenter. It looks like our Lord Jesus must have followed in his footsteps, because in Mark's gospel, he's called the carpenter. They said that about Jesus. Called him the carpenter, not the carpenter's son. In another place, they called him the carpenter's son. But in Mark, he's called the carpenter. Amen. When he's talking about, "I must be about my Father's business," he wasn't talking about what Joseph was doing. He's in the temple teaching. Amen. Amen. He's in the temple answering questions. Amen. What is an answered question? You know what an answered question is? When you've got a question, you have a need. When somebody answers that question, they meet your need. Jesus was in the house of God meeting people's needs. Amen. I'm glad he's still doing that to this day. Amen. He still shows up on a Sunday morning or on a Sunday night or on a Wednesday night or in revival meeting. Amen. Every now and then Jesus shows up in the house of God to meet people's needs. You know why? That's his Father's business. Amen. Amen. And that's our business, by the way, as well, to be a part of that ministry, if I could say it that way. Amen. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Paul talks about this very, very much. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And I could have many other verses in these. I'm just giving you some highlights to help you see it. You could study it out and see it more if you'd like to. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verses 6 through 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God which giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Now how are they? He said they're working together. That's the point he's making. They're a team. You see that? All right. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are laborers together. Not just me and Apollos. It's not what he's talking about. For we are laborers together with God. We're working with our Father. We're about our Father's business. That's what he's talking about. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Amen. So I said earlier, Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. When Jesus came, Luke 19:10 said he came to seek and to save that which is lost. Don't you think we ought to be seeking them? Sure. We ought to be a part of that business. Hebrews chapter number 2, verse number 10. You don't have to turn there and read it. I'm just going to allude to a little statement. He talks about that God was through Christ, bringing many sons to glory. Amen. God was, through Christ, bringing many sons to glory. Amen. That ought to be the business we're involved in. Amen. I remember hearing somebody telling about years ago, and I remember hearing this on our station as well in the story time. One of the stories of great Christians situation. But I remember hearing it otherwise as well. And they said that Mr. Moody, D.L. Moody, was in a place, and he met somebody on the street, and he asked that person, he asked him, had they ever been born again? And later, that fellow went off and was talking to another man, and the guy said, what did that fellow ask you? And he said, he asked me, had I ever been born again? He said, did you tell him that's none of his business? He said, no. He acted like that was his business. Well, that is our business, by the way. Amen. Trying to point people to God. Now, Christ came not only seeking to save that which is lost, he came to do that which pleases the Father. Isn't that right? Amen. He did always those things which please the Father. That ought to be our business. Pleasing our Heavenly Father. Amen. Amen. It would stand to reason to me that our Father wants us to be involved in the family business. And part of that is bringing people to Christ. Now, we can't save them. Paul mentions that. All we can do is sow and water. Amen. It's God that gives the increase. So we don't get the glory. You didn't get saved by the sons of God. You got saved by the Son of God. Right. But the sons of God can have part of the work. Amen. When I say sons, and I'm men and women can have part in the work. Amen. Of sowing the seed and of watering the seed. Amen. There's a lot of different ways that that can go. Brother Steve talked about some of that this morning as well. Amen. You sow the seed by giving the gospel message. Either in a personal witness or maybe just passing out a tract. Amen. Maybe it's teaching a Sunday school class. Maybe it is preaching a sermon. Maybe it's teaching your boys and girls at home. You're sowing seed. You're sowing some seed. Now, you water that seed. I believe one good way of seeing that is through prayer. Maybe even weeping and prayer. You're watering that seed. I believe there's another way you water that seed. I believe by living a consistent testimony. By being faithful to God. Being a light, a bright and shining light in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Amen. Just keep on shining your light for Jesus and you can water the seed. You can't make it produce. You can sow it, you can water it, and you can ask God, trust God, believe God to give the increase. Amen. So it takes God to save a soul. Amen. Takes God to save a soul, but you and I ought to be concerned about their need. Amen. We ought to be concerned about their need. I go back to Jesus there in the temple in Luke 2. He's 12 years old. He's only 12. He wasn't an adult. He wasn't out on his own. If we could say it this way, he's just a kid. And yet he comes, they go to the temple, they go through their ritual, and be honest with you, to many of them, that must have been all it was, just a ritual. They came and they went on their way, left him behind, wasn't even thinking about Jesus. By the way, if we're not careful, church will just be a ritual. You won't even think about Jesus. You come and go, not even know if he is there, where he's at. But when he got there, he saw people had needs. He saw people had questions. And he starts answering their questions. Amen. He starts meeting their needs, being about the Father's business. I say you and I need to be about our Father's business as well. Amen. So there's the family. There's the family circle. There's the family likeness. There's the family business. Number four, there's the family resources. Amen. Our Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands. Of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold, his coffers are full. He has riches untold. Amen. And that song goes on to say, I'm a child of the King. You know what he says in Philippians chapter 4 verse 19, we know this. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Amen. By Christ Jesus. And that was it, or in Christ Jesus. By Christ Jesus. I remember sometime back, right after I first came here, I remember preaching on that thought, Philippians 4. I remember preaching on that, and I made this statement because I'd read it somewhere, and I don't really remember where I read it. They say that's one of the steps towards originality is forgetting your sources. But he's talking about your need. He says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory." Somebody said, "Get your need, bring your need up here to the altar. Put it right in the center. Let God's supply be on one side. My God shall supply all your need. And on the other side, let it be his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Amen. If you can wedge your need in between God's supply and God's riches in glory, I can guarantee you your need will be met. Amen. Your need will be met. And our family resources, you say, preacher, Jesus gave us the responsibility of getting the gospel to the whole world. We're just a little church. We're just a little group of people in a little town, in a little state. Amen. We're just a little dot on the map. Nobody knows us. How in the world are we going to accomplish what God wants us to do? Well, just look at our resources. It's our Father that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Amen. I remember my dad telling a story when he was in Bible college. A fellow came and told the story about this particular Bible college in the center of the United States, in the middle part of the United States. And he said that they had gotten, and this was back in the 1900s, probably about in the 70s, early 70s. They had gotten in a financial difficulty. And that they had, the teacher was up teaching a class. And the college president came in, interrupted the class, and he said to him, he said, "Class, I'm sorry to tell you," he said, we're in very dire straits financially. And he said, "If we don't get some help today, this is going to be the last day of class. We'll have to shut down. We're going to have to go do something else." And he said, would you pray? I don't get to use the word all, y'all. Would you pray and ask God to supply the need? We're needing a miracle. Said to the teacher, just bowed his head and said, "Father, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. How about selling a few of them and send us the money?" And he said, "In Jesus' name, amen." Went back to teaching. He said that president, he's the one telling the story to my dad's class there in Bible college. And the president said that as he went back to his office, he was thinking, that was a little flippant. He didn't have time. He didn't take it serious. And he was a little bit agitated that he felt like the professor just shrugged it off. He said he went in and there was some mail on his desk, of course. He went to opening the mail. He opened a letter from a fellow in Texas. And here's what it said. It said, me and my father own several heads of cattle. We decided to sell a few of them and send y'all the money. Our father has the resources. Now, can I say, if father's got them, the children can get them. Amen. Isn't that right? That is right. If father has got the resources, the children have access to those resources. Amen. Amen. Whatever we need, I'm talking about whatever we need. Amen. If you have a need about just getting in the family circle, he's got the resources. If you have a need about being about the father's business, he's got the resources. If you have a need about being more in the family likeness, he's got the resources to take care of all those needs. Amen. Turn back to Ephesians chapter number 1 again. We'll look at a few verses there quickly. I'm almost done. Ephesians chapter number 1. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3. That's where I'll start. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. I read verse 5 earlier, but I want to read these four verses. I could read on. I love the book of Ephesians. Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You ought to underline that phrase, all spiritual blessings. Whatever you need, he can give you and will give you in Christ. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Amen. He's talking about here, God's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Whatever he's got, we've got. We're heirs and joint heirs with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. All that the Father has is mine. Amen. We have access to those things. Verse number 7 talks about the riches of his grace. Amen. Whatever the need is, he's able to meet that need. We've got the family resources. Amen. And then let me give you the last one. There's the family affection. The family affection. Turn to Galatians. If you're in Ephesians 1, you're right there at Galatians chapter 6, verse number 10. My Bible's on the same page. Verse number 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. Amen. So he said, you're in the family now, you ought to love the rest of the family. Amen. You ought to love the family. I appreciate the fact Brother Jacob's visiting with us today. This is the first time I ever met him, far as I know, probably the first time he's ever been here. He came in this morning and enjoyed the Sunday school. I could tell he enjoyed the Sunday school. Got in with it. Amen. Doing the same thing in the preaching. You know why? Because it appears that he's in the same family. Amen. And there's something that ties us together. There's something that binds us together. Amen. The ties that bind, thank God, the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by putting us in the family. He says here that we ought to do good to everybody. We ought to be trying to meet everybody's needs. We ought to be concerned about everybody, but especially those that are of the household of the faith. We ought to have a special love for our brothers and sisters. Amen. Now, there should be a special bond among earthly families. Amen. Amen. Brothers, even though they sit on opposite sides of the church, ought to be able to speak to each other. Say amen right there, brethren. Amen. Amen. Sisters ought to be able to speak to one another. Amen. I know sometimes both rifts can come in, but that's not the will of God. That's not the way it ought to be. Amen. But I have a problem with this crowd that says, well, I'm part of the family of God. I just don't like to go down there to the house of God. I just don't like Christians. I just don't like to hang around with them people. They're a bunch of fanatics. They're a bunch of hypocrites. They're a bunch of Fruit Loops, they're a bunch of fuddy-duddies, amen. Listen, you might have a brother that is a little bit fruity, but if he's your brother, you'll love him. Amen, amen. I don't know why everybody's looking over that way, but they are, amen. No, I'm kidding. Amen. But seriously, there ought to be a family cohesion in a physical family, but there ought to be that in the spiritual family. Amen. There ought to be a strong bond of love and affection for our fellow believers. We ought to have a longing to be among our fellow believers. Amen. We ought to have a longing to be with those that worship our Father like we worship our Father. Those that love our Savior like we love our Savior. Amen. We ought to have a bond that's there. Matter of fact, we're told in the scripture that's one of the ways we know that we're a child of God. 1 John chapter number 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Amen. Now he goes on to talk about if you don't love the brothers you have seen, what makes you think you love God whom you have not seen? The love of God doesn't seem to dwell in that person. Amen. But he talks about he that doesn't love his brother abideth in death. That's what he said. The idea is we know that we're saved because all of a sudden we're part of the family. There's a love for the family. Jesus said this in John chapter 13. You know these verses, verses 34 and 35. He said, a new commandment I give unto you that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Not only do you know you're saved by the love you have in your heart, but the world knows you're saved by the love they see evident in your heart and your life. Amen. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. You say, well, if that's natural, how come he had to command us to love our brother? Well, if you've got children, you understand that. You have to tell them, that's your brother, you ought to love him. That's your sister, you ought to love him. Amen. Right? You have to remind them. Amen. Every now and then he has to remind us, and we need to be reminded that we ought to love one another. Let me ask you this question. I'm about done. I'm winding down. Do you have love for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you have love for them? Are you praying for them? Does it cause you, that love, does it cause you to be concerned about them? Does it cause you to have a longing to be with them? Amen. Long to be a blessing to them and work alongside them in doing the business of the Father. Amen. Now here's where I'm going with that. Because we've got loved ones. Most, probably every one of us have got family members that don't know God. And you ought to be concerned about that family member more than anybody else is concerned about it. But if I'm your brother, I ought to be concerned about your family because you're my family. Amen. You ought to be concerned about my family because I'm your family, right? There ought to be a prayer. We ought to have a prayer bond for the people of God. Amen. And we ought to long to see their loved ones saved. And so we ought to be praying when they brings them in or they invite them in. We ought to be praying. Or when they're just gone and they're visiting with them, we ought to be praying, Lord, let them be a witness. Lord, let something be said. Let something be done. They might point that person to Christ. Amen. And when they come, we ought to be praying, Lord, deal with them, convict them, and draw them even now to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. I want to ask you the question again, are you in the family? You could be. You should be. Are you in the family of God? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, I put this in the bulletin this morning. Paul said, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Are you a part of the family? If you are, is there that family likeness, family resemblance? Are you a part of the family business? Are you knit in with the family circle? Are you tapping into the family resources? And do you have the family affections that you ought to have for one another? Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for putting us in the family. We rejoice in that. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to have that love and reminding us how we ought to cultivate that love for one another. Father, I thank you for letting us share some of that even today in the service. I pray, Father, you'd move in our midst now. I pray particularly for those that are lost, those that are outside the family. Lord, we were there at one time, and I remember what it was like. I'm so grateful for the day I got placed into the family of God. I'm so grateful for the fact that I got grafted in. I thank you for it, Lord. I pray you'd help them come to that place. They'd recognize their need of a Savior. They'd repent and believe the gospel. Be saved by the good grace of God. Not by works of righteousness, which any of us have done. But Lord, they just come trust in Jesus for their salvation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. As we sing, would you obey the Lord? If you need to come pray, would you come call on the Lord?